Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Thank you for the introduction. Hi everyone, my name is Theo. I do research at Bain Capital Crypto, and I'm also going to talk about decentralized exchanges. I want to kind of focus this conversation around the liquidity providers, and this talk is really going to be a call to action for some research and then also product development that I think would be quite interesting. So let's look at the value of an LP position in an AMM. I'm going to say that we have two assets. One is a Numeraire, and the other is some asset, whatever you want, with price P valued in terms of the Numeraire. So you can think of maybe the first asset is Ethereum, the second asset is some other token, and P is the price of that other token in terms of Ethereum. And this AMM has a set of allowable states. So we can think about it as having some set of reserves, and it says, I will let the reserves change in particular ways. So what's the value of the liquidity provider position? Well, if we assume there's one arbitrageur, at least one arbitrageur, who's going to try to extract as much value as possible from the AMM, we get this minimization function, this minimization problem, which essentially says the value of an LP position is the minimum value among all the sets of allowable reserves. So for what's most common, which is the constant function market makers, that set of allowable reserves is just going to be essentially some invariant evaluated at the reserves that has to be greater than or equal to some constant. So just to make this very concrete with an example, let's take a constant product AMM, so things like Uniswap V2. And for that, we're going to have the square root invariant. If we plug this in and kind of go through everything, we get the value of the liquidity provider position at time t, so at t amount of time after this position was opened, is essentially proportional to the square root of the price plus a term that depends on the fees. So we look at this, and there's a few questions that one might ask, or a few kind of considerations. First is, do I want this derivative? Do I want this product? Second is, what rebalancing cost am I going to pay arbitrageurs to maintain this position's value for me? And then third is, can I hedge the price movement? Let's say I just want fees. I just want fees for providing my liquidity. I don't want to be exposed to the price movement. How easy is it to hedge this? So I'll review some of the current research, which is mostly on this first question, do I want this derivative? And there the question is, okay, well, let's say there's something I want, so some portfolio value V that I want, how do I get to an invariant for a constant function market maker that gives me said value? We see some examples in practice. I'm using this loosely, but things like zero coupon bonds at maturity, some of the yield token pools look kind of like this. We also see things like weighted portfolios, so things like balancer pools, geometric mean market makers, some of the perpetual exchange lending pools look kind of like these weighted portfolios. We've seen covered calls on chain and other people build options on top of AMMs. And then we've also seen recent proposals for things like prediction market AMMs. There's a recent blog post from Dan Ciamac on that. The general theory for the static case, so for the case where the time T doesn't matter, from replicating market makers papers in 2021-2023, says that if that portfolio value function is some concave homogeneous increasing function, we could figure out the CFMM that gives us said function. However, this doesn't really tell us why some of this stuff works in practice, some of this stuff doesn't seem to have worked in practice. How do we do it in the dynamic case? That was only in the static case. And there's a few things that I think at least are key factors here. For that, I think the ease of hedging the price movement. Essentially, if LPs desire some delta neutral strategy, so they're not taking risk on the price of the underlying asset, how do they do that with an AMM? So they just essentially want the exposure to the trading fees. Second is the amount extracted by arbitrage. So if you've heard lever thrown around, or we can think of these as rebalancing fees that you have to pay to arbitrageurs, how much is that? And like essentially how much leakage is there from my portfolio value? Third is just how useful is it to have one of these custom portfolio value functions? Like what are essentially derivatives that I might want to have? Is the portfolio value actually useful or not? So the reason that I think that looking at this is exciting is there's over $10 trillion of assets in ETFs. There's a lot of passive liquidity out there. Clearly people are doing stuff in kind of the financial world with this. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to bring this liquidity on chain. So if you're interested in collaborating on these types of questions on the research side or on the practical side, please reach out. Thank you.
Thank you. So are there any questions? Yep, no questions? Raise your hand so I can send you the mic. Okay. Okay, all clear. Ah, there's a question here. Yep.
You didn't talk, you didn't expand in detail, but can you, is there a brief introduction about what are typical ways of hedging the directional move?
It depends on the, I think this is kind of a issue in a lot of AMMs because for instance, if you wanted to hedge like say a constant product position, you have that square root function that's your long exposure to the asset. And most places to get short exposure are giving you a linear short exposure. And so what that means is the amount that you need to be short that asset is going to change as the price changes. And that makes it very difficult because you have to constantly be managing this the short position, the hedge of the short position, which means that it's like no longer passively providing liquidity. And there's a number of blog posts, if you message me, I can send you from kind of a few years ago that talk about this. But in terms of the question of like, how do I design a portfolio value that is easy to hedge, I think this is a pretty interesting area of research moving forward, especially the dynamic case where the CFMM or the automated market maker might be changing over time.
Thank you. There's another question over there in the center.
How do you think about concentrated liquidity provision, in particularly regard to hedging, as you described? So if I'm an LP and I want to, you know, only provide liquidity within certain bands, you know, how do you think about that in regard to the rest of the formula?
Those also actually do fit in kind of the standard constant function market maker framework, even the constant liquidity pools. There's a paper that I wrote with a number of colleagues called The Geometry of Constant Function Market Makers that shows that connection. Essentially, the high-level idea is one way to think about all of these things is there's like some set of reserves that's allowable, kind of that first slide that I had, and that set has particular properties for, let's say, like the things that you want to hold. So even, say, a concentrated liquidity position, whether that's like the Uniswap V3 hyperbolic type concentrated liquidity, or if it's a linear concentrated liquidity, you can even in some ways think of an order book as linear concentrated liquidity positions, because for whatever you're selling, it's just kind of a linear amount. So this all falls into a similar framework. And actually, I think that's one of the things where kind of the more we can bring this all into a common framework, we can start to use more interesting mathematics and then really push forward our ability to like understand the stuff and build end products. Happy to talk more offline. Thank you for the question.
Okay, there's time for one final question. Over here.
What do you think is like the right way of thinking about these portfolios for users? Because crypto is quite a unique place. You need to put like these two tokens in this AMM. And traditional market makers are looking for optimizing USD. Do you think we are looking at maybe the wrong metrics when we're measuring these kind of performances? Should we build portfolios for these two kind of tokens? What's your take on that?
Sorry, if I understand the question correctly, it's like what types of portfolios should we be...
What kind of products are we trying to design?
I think that's a good question. I think right now there's the first kind of step to answering that question is to figure out, you know, what might we care about, and then how do we design for those types of, for those metrics. I think there's a question of to like what the metric should even be. And then after that, we can kind of, you know, look into what actually, how to actually construct those portfolios. But that, I think the exciting part is the design space is pretty wide open right now. And of course, we can look to finance has a long history that we can look for inspiration to.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Please have a nice round of applause for you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.